This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this show happen. John McKay, how are you?
Well, I think Mother Nature finally woke up and said, oh, it's November.
You know, a couple of the first, really the first frosts in town this week. It was definitely, we had been warning that it was coming. We had talked about it on the show a little bit. But yeah, it was definitely a little chilly in the mornings there, for sure. Some nice afternoons, though, once we got rid of the fog. And with us also, our resident in-house lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne at Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
Cold.
Cold. I see you've got that nice Umpqua branded sweater on today.
Yeah, so. And it's not enough. I feel like I need a coat for this.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are definitely seeing that happen for sure. Well, we always like to start off the show before we jump into our topic. We always like to start off the show with kind of our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this one is Hall of Fame in honor of basketball season, kind of in full swing there for the kids and stuff. We've got Hall of Fame baller Scottie Pippen has done a price reduction, slashed the price of his estate. He's selling a 13,500 square foot home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he slashed the price to $10.9 million. It started in 2009. It's been on and off the market since then for over the course of 5-6 years. Started at $16 million and now down to $10.9. And he's in the middle of, the article here had quoted that came off of Realtor.com and the celebrity news said that the pending sale is because of a contentious divorce. Ooh. So I think that's a reason. Now, it did say...
I bet Mrs. Pippen's going to get some money out of that one.
Yeah, it sounded like it. It actually, in the article, mentioned she had been featured on The Real Housewives of Miami. And I missed that one, Tom. So I didn't know that. But for our listeners that do know that, there you go.
I tend to miss those shows too.
Yes.
Somehow I don't find myself watching them.
But this Italian estate right on the water in Fort Lauderdale, 13,500 square feet, 6 bedrooms, 7 baths, has your own pull-up dock.
Is that a big yacht I see out front?
215 feet. And that is a big yacht. And in fact, Tom, it says if you're willing to go instead of the $10.9 million, it says in the article, if you're willing to go to $12.5 million, he's going to throw in the yacht.
Oh, okay.
Just leave it tied up to the dock out there.
It's like that guy in that Honda commercial where he unties his boat and shoves it out in the water.
Not my Sunday.
Not my Sunday.
Not my Sunday. So, yeah, so there you go. That is kind of our crazy celebrity real estate news story. So we also always like to report on local news stories. Earlier this week, if you've been out there by Road 68 in Pasco and driving by the freeway, there was a 230-acre chunk of property that Musser Brothers earlier this week held an auction on, and it was that land sold for some really, really good values. DNR auctioned off that land, and so it ended up going in basically two different chunks. Those parcels out there. There was a 170-acre combination that sold for almost $6.7 million, $39,000 an acre. And then another 21-acre parcel that sold for $49,000 an acre. So when you kind of look around and see where's kind of the next development going to happen, this is a very leading indicator that some Tri-City developers went ahead and purchased those at the auction. So it was a great event put on by Musser Brothers. They did a fantastic job in that auction realm. And so there was definitely some very, very high prices that some of that land sold for. So in the next, I would bet that sometime next year you're going to start to see some dirt flying around out there. And that last kind of big chunk there between the freeway and Chiawana High School, I think you'll start to see the development really starting to push through there now that that ground has been sold from the state to individuals. It hasn't closed, but they have gone into escrow on those parcels.
Well, that is exciting. You know, this whole last year, we've been talking about it a lot, just shortage of inventory and where's the dirt going to be able to build more houses. So that'll be nice to see that.
Yeah, and I think that's a good indication of the timing was great. That those parcels needed to sell. The city of Pasco wants to see that development come through. And you're exactly right, Tom. With a shortage of inventory, I think you have some people out there looking to say, okay, let's get some more houses and gets, as they say, some more sticks coming out of the ground. Mm-hmm. So great event to be at. Nice to see some local Tri-Cityans getting in there and really meeting that housing need that we're going to have coming up there. And speaking of that, just nationally, I also wanted to relate that to another story. This coming out of economist Elliot Eisenberg notated that in October, housing starts nationally were very, very good. Year to date, housing starts are up 5.9%. But single family housing starts, they're up 10.1%. And so October saw nationally 869,000 single family starts. And this is the best October that we've seen since 07. And so you can kind of see that national demand being met. And here in the Tri-Cities and the Northwest is just a great indication and following that trend nationally with those additional housing starts. On to our topic today, one of the things I wanted to talk about, and that is, what do you do when your neighbor's houses start going up for sale? Looking around and saying, and it's funny how that happens, and people have pointed out this out to us, and that's a trend that we really see in real estate. And a lot of times, some activity breeds more activity. And so many times, what you'll see happen is you'll see one house go up for sale on the block, and then like a week and a half later, almost invariably, you'll see another house go up for sale. And it's just one of those things where people will look and decide and say, oh, gosh, you know what? If they're going to go ahead and sell and they're getting good activity, maybe it's time. It just gets people thinking. Maybe it's time we go ahead and do that. So one of the things I wanted to kind of review and go over is some of those things that you can do when you start to see multiple houses go up for sale in a neighborhood. So one of the first things that I wrote down, and this happens a lot, we get a lot of requests for people to do this, is I said you should definitely know and learn the market in real time. Meaning when you see that house get listed, as a homeowner, go in there and check out those photos. And if they have an open house, go down and go through that open house. And a lot of times people are kind of hesitant to say that. And they're like, oh, man, we're just being a nosy neighbor. I've always said as a real estate agent, please come be a nosy neighbor. Mm-hmm. I want you to come to that open house because likely what happens, you like where you live. You like being in that neighborhood. So you're going to be one of the best champions of helping me get that house sold if you're a neighbor and like being there. So if you come over and go through it, you might say, gosh, this is great. You're at a party 2 or 3 days later. Someone's saying they're looking for a new house. And you're like, geez, Jim, you should call the Lance at the Kenmore team. I was just down at his open house. I think you would love the neighborhood. So I always tell the neighbors, get out. Go through that open house. Go through that house that is for sale. And that does a couple things. Number one, it helps you potentially pick your neighbors, which
would be nice.
a good option.
Because if you find
out who's coming in, you'll let them know. And if you don't, you might not let somebody else know. But it helps you potentially pick your neighbors, know what's going on there. If you are considering selling, it's the best type of comparable because you're then going to see what that house sold for. And I run into this all the time when I'm sitting down with people in their homes and they'll say, you know what, the reason I called you is because Jack and Jill down the street just sold their house. They sold it for $300,000. Mine has an extra bedroom, and so I'm convinced my house should be $320,000. And I'll look and I'll say, well, you know, it was interesting. I was in Jack and Jill's house. They actually had slab granite counters, bamboo floors.
And it looks like nobody fell down.
Stainless steel appliances. And so actually, you know, the reason that one sold for $300,000 is because it was dialed in like a brand new model home. Now I see that you have laminate countertops, worn out carpet, and compare those two. We're going to have a pricing issue. But a lot of times neighbors won't go in those homes. They don't see that stuff, so they don't know. So I always say, get out there, get through that house. That way, when it does close and sell, you can look at the price they got, look at the finishes that you saw, and make a real-life comparison. Now, of course, you're always going to be a little biased towards your own house. If you weren't, I would be out of business. If everybody wasn't biased about their house and knew exactly what it was priced at, a big portion of our job, we wouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. So you are always going to be a little bit biased, but it really helps you break down that comparable in your neighborhood. Best comparables are going to be in your neighborhood. Helps you break that down and see what type of amenities they have in that house. So get out there, come see us at those open houses, make an appointment to come check out the house. Maybe you're thinking for friends, maybe you're looking to sell yours. If that's the case, just let us know. We love to do that with folks. Say, hey, I'm thinking about selling because I saw my neighbors come up. Can you come over, show me through that house, and then while you're here, take a look at my place and give me an estimate of value that you think mine would sell for. It's a great way to do it. The second thing that I wrote down that you're going to want to do is potentially, if there's anything on a neighboring property or a property next to yours, and there is any sort of unwritten agreement, and your neighbor's house goes up for sale, you're going to need to figure out that agreement before that house sells. And it's probably going to be to your benefit to do it with the current owner that you have that agreement with. I mean, for instance, I've seen people before where they have poured their driveways together so that it was easier to just back up and then pull out the other person's driveway. Like they poured the driveway right up to the property line and kind of made like a circular driveway. And that was always the agreement. Like I'm here, I back up. I don't have to back all the way into the street. I just pull out. Well, that's fine and dandy because you and Bob are great friends. But Bob sells the house and now the new guy, Jim, doesn't like you very much, and he puts a fence up. And now the fence is up right in the middle of that cement. So if you have any sort of shared access agreement, or you have a maintenance agreement, maybe you have planted trees, and 1 year you trim the trees on there, and then the second year your neighbor trims the trees, and you go back and forth. You've had that agreement. Maybe that agreement can continue, maybe it can't, but it's nice to at least let the agents know and potential buyers know that that is something to consider that you've done in the past and see if there's any sort of additional documentation that needs to be done, especially shared fences. Maybe you have a shared gate, a common access gate. Is that going to stay locked? Is it going to be unlocked? Any sort of access issue like that, or shared type of utility agreement, that information needs to be disclosed to the new buyers. It really is also important if there's like a shared well. So a lot of times there will be a well that's on one person's property, but it serves a second parcel. Is there an access agreement for parcel number two to enter parcel number one's property to maintain that well if the pump breaks down? Also, when the pump does break down, who is responsible for the charges? Are the lots the same size? If one lot's a little bit bigger, does parcel number two pay 60% of the cost instead of 50% of the cost? So any sort of shared utility, shared access agreement, maintenance agreements like that, make the other agent aware of that so that they know to disclose that to the potential clients. It's a lot easier to do it up front. If people know up front, they know what to expect. It is way worse after someone is 10 to 15 days into an inspection. They've done their inspection. They're moving forward. They have one specific idea of how things are going to be. And then all of a sudden, you throw this monkey wrench, bomb, surprise, whatever you want to call it, into the transaction. It's a way different story after the fact. So a couple things to consider when other houses go up for sale in your neighborhood. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit with Tom. And Tom, I know there's been a lot of talk on Facebook. We've seen the election talk. I'm so over it. But let's talk a little bit about maybe how those results might affect the future of the real estate market when we come back from the break, if you're up to it.
I'm up for it. Let's
do it. It's not on Facebook. It's not. This will be our last. No, probably not our last time. We'll talk about it after the break, McKay.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking today about some local and national housing news stories, going over kind of the phenomenon that happens is when somebody puts a home up for sale in a neighborhood, that we generally see one, two, or three others in that same block or neighborhood start to go up, kind of some activity upon activity. And there's a lot of advantages that can happen with that. A lot of times you have increased traffic. If you've got one listing in there and then you get a neighbor that puts one up, now you're going to have twice as many eyeballs coming to look at those houses. And so there are also some potential sales advantages to this, but there are some things to kind of look out for, and to it can help you in pricing your home. We talked about access, shared access issues that can come up that need to be documented. And we've got a couple more to talk about. But before we do that, let's check in with Tom Coyne and say, Tom, what's going on in the lending world, man? I saw some changes the last couple weeks, and there's been some market, we'll call them reactions.
Yeah, there has been definitely some reactions. And I don't know how we got over talking about the election last week, but it gave
us... I didn't want to because it was so crazy.
It was crazy. So I'm glad we did, though, and we waited a week because it gave us more time to really watch what the market's doing. And I just have a little bit more data to be able to share now. But, last week on the 8th, the day of the election, I think everyone saw the stock market just plunging. And why did that happen? I think a lot of it was uncertainty. And it was kind of unexpected leading up to that point that Trump actually had a chance to win. And so when there's uncertainty, people were selling off, the market was going down. But the very next day, so many people saw that as an opportunity to buy, and it just rallied right back up. And I don't know the exact stats, but I think it was one of the biggest rebounds in a long, long, long time. Now, many sectors of the stock market are up, but mortgage-backed securities have really tanked since the election. And as the stock market goes up, bond market goes down. When bonds go down, interest rates go up. From Wednesday the 9th to Monday of this last week, mortgage-backed securities dropped 230 basis points.
Ouch.
Is a huge drop in such a short period of time. And the bond market is still dropping, and it's pushing interest rates to the highest levels we've seen in a long time. Now, it's rare that we see rates change so much so quick. And so I was expecting some correction, and I had mixed emotions on whether we tell people to float or to lock. But we haven't really seen a rebound. On Tuesday this last week, we actually saw an improvement. But then 2 hours later, rates went up. So I was thinking, okay, well, maybe here's the improvement I'm waiting for. But then 2 hours later, they went right back
volatile,
up.
Volatile, yeah.
And that's all we've seen since then. Now, I still think it's possible for a rate correction to happen. And when I say correction, I just mean stabilization. And you said it, reaction. You know, is this an overreaction and rates are jumping too quick? So they're going to soften back up and stabilize? Or are we just going to plateau out? It's hard to say. We haven't seen any sort of decrease yet and haven't seen stabilization yet. I mean, every day this last week, we saw multiple different sets of interest rates. Now, I did some research, and it's not common for an election to affect interest rates that much as this one. But the market clearly didn't expect Trump to win, and we're seeing major movements in the market because of it. Now, with how unpredictable the market has been over the last 2 weeks, and with the talk of Feds raising the interest rates in December, I think it's much safer to lock versus floating a rate if you're either building or in the market for a house right now, or maybe you're under contract on a house. That's my opinion. You can take that for what it's worth. But if for me, I would be locking and not playing the risk of waiting. Now, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, the 30-year fixed rate rose from 3.77 to 3.95% over the last week. Now, this was the largest week-over-week jump since June of 2013. Now, during that same time frame, the last week, mortgage applications for purchases fell 9.2% and refinance applications fell 11%. Now, that's kind of to be expected on the refi side of it, because as rates rise, there's less incentive for people to get in and refinance. Now, they went on to, Mortgage Bankers Association went on to state that rates have now risen for the 5 of the last 6 weeks. So pretty steady incline in rates. Now, what are rates going to do? I just kind of gave you my opinion. I feel like we should see a stabilization coming soon. Now, when is that going to come? I don't know. But there's a lot of mixed opinions out there. Now, Aaron Lance, who's Zillow's vice president of mortgages, said last week, as we continue to learn more about the shape of the new administration, their policies, and global reaction, we expect more volatility as markets try to put a price on these political developments. Consumers considering buying or refinancing now should stay patient, as we'll likely see rates stabilize once the markets find a new equilibrium. That was her opinion. Now, Bankrate.com, which puts out weekly mortgage rate trends and index, found experts it surveyed were completely split over what rates were going to do in the coming week. Half said they would fall, 40% said they should rise, and the other 10% said they're not going to change. So nobody really knows, is what that tells me.
Yeah, because you've got, like we talked about volatility, a lot of times you've got people saying, yeah, there's an 80% chance that the rates are going to be raised and this is what's going to happen. But right now you've got people on both sides of the fence. They're not exactly sure what's going to happen. They're not exactly sure. I mean, day to day over the last 2 weeks has been absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And I just think they obviously built some uncertainty into the rate increases. But I don't think, I'm with you, Tom. I don't think they know yet.
No, it's pretty clear to me. So you have to ask yourself, what is your tolerance for risk? If you're the guy who will go to a casino and burn half of his paycheck gambling, then you probably have a little bit higher tolerance for risk.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
So maybe you're the guy who says, well, let's roll the dice and float the rate and see what happens. But if you don't have that tolerance for risk and you don't want to gamble with what your mortgage payment is going to be for the next 30 years, then you would probably want to take my recommendation and just lock. Now, if you're building a house right now, hopefully, and you've been listening to our radio show over the last couple of months when I've talked about extended rate locks multiple times, and hopefully you're working with me. We already got that rate locked in. But if you're not working with me, hopefully your lender already took care of you and got your rate locked so you don't have to worry about these increases. But if they did not recommend an extended rate lock and you're not locked in yet, I would ask yourself why your lender didn't tell you to do that. And maybe it's time to give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about your rate lock options. Right now, there's a lot of uncertainty, but my opinion is lock, lock, lock.
Tom, thanks for that. Yeah, I really appreciate that. In fact, you know, I know you and I were going to work on another refinance property together too. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I got to get that application in. Mm-hmm. I got to get this thing locked down. I had a couple of clients call me this week and they said to me, they're just like, you know, it's interesting. They're double checking lenders. Mm-hmm. And they called me and they said, Lance, this is crazy. We got quoted 3.75 when we put in our application, and now we're being quoted 4.1. I think this guy's trying to rip me off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, hold on. Okay, who did you talk to? Exactly. When was your first quote? Mm-hmm. And now let's look at where we are now. And I said, look, I've been monitoring rates the same as you. Well, and not the same as you, because they weren't monitoring rates. Right. They were just, that's what they were told at application. They took a month to find a house. They went back to finalize the application. Now this is what they were being told. And they're like, what's happening? And I said, what's happening is exactly election uncertainty. We've talked about rates going up. We thought, you know, I went back and I looked at some of our predictions. We thought the rates already would have been mm-hmm. up. I looked at some of the stuff I prepared for, and we'll review that. We always do that show the 1st of January. What did we get right? What were we wrong about? We anticipated rates already to be back into the fours and higher this time anyway. So I think this was almost a reason for the market to be able to respond and make that correction. So there's just so many factors going into it that I agree with you. If you don't have that tolerance for risk, if you look at the 30-year average and where we're at, I think you're still going to see on that graph that we're at the bottom of that trough, mm-hmm. nearing the low. So you're going to be okay. And I had to tell a couple buyers this week, look, 4.1
is
okay. Yeah, it's
phenomenal.
Not the end of the world.
Well, the problem is everyone and their brother knows someone who got one in the threes.
Right.
So they want that rate.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And we've just been at a 2-year period of these extreme lows. So yeah, there will be a little bit of correction there. So thanks for the data to back that up, Tom.
Yeah, you
appreciate
made me think of something else. You know, like you were saying, your situation with your clients that had got a quote a month ago and now they're getting a quote now. If you were pre-approved a month or 2 months ago and you got quotes at that time, it's a good idea to call your lender and get those quotes updated.
Absolutely.
Because maybe you had a budget of $1,000 a month. Well, now you're not purchasing the same amount of house as you were 2 months ago to stay at $1,000 a month. Or maybe your approval was right up to the limits of what's allowed for that program. It's good to sit down and have a refresher and make sure everyone's all on the same page.
I did some quick calculations while you were talking, and based upon those rates that you quoted out from the bank rate, I think it was, mm-hmm. that you actually now, that's why it's a good reason to call, like Tom said, you're actually now shopping for a house that to keep your mortgage payment the same, you're now actually shopping for a house that is roughly $9,000 lower than what you were shopping at before.
Yeah, and it's important to know that so there's no surprises after you're under contract.
Sounds great. Good information. Now, some properties that you can go get to lock in, put an offer in on, and get. We've got some great new inventory. I don't think these will be here much longer. They might make it through the weekend, but 8015 West 6th Avenue in Kennewick. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath Rambler in Hanson Park. This is 1414 square feet, open layout, great kitchen, island with a breakfast bar, lots of counter space, pantry, slider off the living room that goes out to a patio, fully fenced backyard. This is just a fantastic, fantastic, great little starter home, and this is coming in at $199,900. So absolutely great property. Pick number two. We don't see homes this clean in this price range too often. 3622 West 4th Place in Kennewick. 3-bedroom, 2-bath, West Kennewick Rambler, 1,232 square feet, original hardwood floors, great wood fireplace in the living room. Kitchen has ample counter space. Opens up to a dining area. Master bedroom with, in this size range, with a private half bath. Again, fully fenced backyard. And that property is coming in at $142,000.
Wow.
I mean, truly kind of your just hit your mark there, whether investment or first time home buyer. We don't get some of the stuff we sell for $142,000 right now in this market is not some of the nicest stuff. This house shows well, great, great property for $142,000. That was 3622 West 4th. And then pick number three, just a phenomenally maintained home. Big home, 1955 Crabapple Circle in West Richland. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a den, Hayden-built home, 3,245 square feet. So big home, great layout for entertaining, large formal dining room. You've got corner gas fireplace that in the living room, opens right up to a big kitchen. It's got 2 breakfast bars, island, large pantry, and a dining nook. You've got a half bath on the main level. Huge, huge master suite on the upper level with a great master bath, dual sink vanity, tub, and shower. You got another family room flex space on the upper level, fully fenced backyard. This property built in 2010, so newer home, super, super well kept. I mean, it's not like anybody even lives there. They keep it. It still feels new. And that's coming in at $310,000. So to get that square footage in West Richland, kind of right in the It growth area, absolutely great, great property. So we're putting some inventory on still. The frost is not going to slow us down, Tom. The cold weather, no, we're just ignoring it. We're going to list homes. And we still need the inventory in Tri-Cities. People are still buying. So we're putting on some great, great options right now. So the last thing that I just want to close up with, too, is what Tom said and just kind of reinforce a little bit with rates there. If you've thought about buying in this market and you've thought about buying in the next 6 months, right now, the rates are still fantastic. There's still a great option to find a home, go under contract. We've had two or three new buyers approach us in the last couple days that are like, okay, I do think this was the bottoming of those rates. I think now's a great time in the winter to potentially be looking for a deal on a house. I hope that there's enough inventory out there to support that buying. And like I just went over with these new homes, we're constantly getting new homes on the market. And so if you've thought about and you want to take care of that before things get more uncertain, please let us know. We just don't know exactly where those rates are, but all indications are that a rate increase coming in the next 3 to 4 months. And so if we can beat that, get you locked in on a great property and get you in a home now, we'd gladly take a look at that. So now,
for the investors out there, you know, as interest rates rise, those cash flows on those rental properties really start going down. So if you're an investor, you're thinking about waiting till spring, summer of next year to purchase another property or two, you might want to move up that timeline.
Sounds good. Good advice. Which website do they go to start that application with you?
TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
Great. And come see us at KenmoreTeam.com. If you need anything else, shoot us a message. Glad to help. And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.